want to help support PodNuts, do this one little step. Instead of going straight to Amazon.com, go to PodNuts.com/Amazon. Buy all the stuff you want. You will be supporting PodNuts if you do that. Thank you. Welcome to PodNuts Daily, episode number 323. The show about computer repair for computer repair technicians by computer repair technicians. See, I kind of got it out right. And what we do here is we get people who own computer repair shops and computer repair businesses on the show to talk about what they're doing in their field, in their jobs, their everyday grind, and share some of the tips and tricks and techniques and methods and stuff that they find when throughout their day. That's kind of how PodNuts Daily started. It started with just me, and then you guys all got tired of hearing me, so I brought other people on. I think that's what happened anyway. No. Anyway, joining us today, we have a great technician, I think. I'm sure. I'm just kidding. Donald Sayers from ifixie.com. I-F-I-X-I-E.com. Hey, Donald.
That's correct. How's it going, man?
I'm doing awesome. How about you?
Not too bad. Busy day. Just got home a little bit ago, so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Home from computer repair?
Yeah, I've got a shop downtown here.
Awesome. Yeah, tell us a little bit about that. Introduce yourself. You are a first-time PodNuts Dalian.
I am. And you may recognize me from things like the TeamSpeak, but I fix iPhones, Macs, PCs, set up home theaters. I do a little bit of Google Apps and some web stuff, and yeah, that's about it.
That's good. And what do you have? What kind of business do you have set up? What's your shop like?
I've got actually some shared space, and this is actually like an awesome tip for starting technicians.
Yeah.
I share space with about four other people. It's about to be five. They always make jokes about the fact that my space seems like it's an airport or an airplane hangar. But we have a lot of people in there. It used to be a print studio, and before that it used to be a garage. And now it's a couple of us. We've got a web developer, a designer, and two architects and me. So it's a great space, and you can get some really good spaces and not pay a whole lot to rent them out. So,
well, what's the tip? Sharing?
I would definitely consider, instead of doing like I used to run everything from in-home, I'd have clients come into my living room pretty much. I had a little office set up in there with a TV so they could sit down and watch a TV show or something while I fixed a phone or stuff like that. But it definitely helps out your professional look and everything by having a real office space, a real business address and stuff like that, name on the outside, the whole deal.
It does. I agree. And it just that fact alone brings in business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What? And you know, you can take an office that would normally be several $1,000s to rent and bring it down to, I mean, $200, $300, $400, which is awesome.
You mean by sharing it with others?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is a great tip. I mean,
plus then you're not stuck in a hole by yourself all the time.
Yeah. That's very important. I mean, when I had my shop, I got it for $375, and it was just the front building. The front mm-hmm. part of a building where four other people should have been, but it was just vacant the whole mm-hmm. time. So it did get lonely in there. Thank God I brought my dad in. But it was because it was split up like that. Yeah, rent was super cheap. You don't have to rent all. And do you have visibility? I mean, could people drive by and see you?
Yeah, so I just started. I have these little, you may see them for, you know, political campaigns and stuff like that. I've actually put some of those along the street outside.
Yeah.
You just, you know, talk to your city, see what your regulations are, and just have them out there. I've got a auto shop next door, a whole lot of foot traffic for a restaurant right real close to us. And it's great visibility. So as somebody parks or something like that, they're like, oh, there's a computer repair shop here. Okay, I'll give that guy a call.
Yeah, great idea. What are the regulations for those signs? Because I see that when the politicians put them out and I go, are you serious? You're allowed to advertise there? It pisses me off. I mean,
frankly. The biggest thing is, you know, just talk to the tenants around you. And if all of them say it's cool, I mean, a lot of them will go, oh, where are you getting those signs printed? Because I'll do that too. But I talked to the city and they were kind of like, you know, as long as we don't get complaints about it, you're fine.
Really? So, mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking just in front of your place, though, or
on other people's?
It's in front of my place, but okay. I believe it's city property, but you know, as long as nobody really says anything, they're not really going to fine you unless you're littering around and all that stuff. So
interesting. Yeah. I usually have a problem when I'm like on going on an on-ramp on a highway and I see like all striped along the edge, like advertising.
And you want to read every one of them.
Yeah. I pull over all the time and read them all. No, but that's good. I didn't know the regulations on the signs.
Yeah. It's a tough thing to get around, but I would just, you know, I'm not saying to just try it, but why not? They're really cheap to do, and the worst thing that happens is you get a phone call from the city telling you to take them down.
That's true. You know, that used to be really the way I operated, especially when I had my business. You just do something till somebody tells you not to do it anymore.
Yeah, don't ask for permission. Ask for forgiveness.
Right, right. It works. Sometimes it gets you in trouble, but where are you located? Which city?
I'm in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Pretty big population. We've got, you know, a lot of technology businesses here and stuff like that. So it's a great place to be. I've lived here for about 8 years. I've lived in Baltimore, Maryland, and Syracuse, New York, Pittsburgh, all these other places. But this is a great little town. You know, you're about one or two people away from pretty much anybody that, you know, makes any decisions in the city and stuff. So
are you serious? It's nice. Mm-hmm. That's pretty awesome. Where are you from originally?
It's a small town feel.
I like that. Where are you from originally?
I was born in Syracuse, New York.
And then you say you moved to Pittsburgh?
Well,
Baltimore.
I've lived, Syracuse to Buffalo, from Buffalo to New Jersey, from New Jersey to Reading, Pennsylvania. Or no, to Syracuse, Reading, Pennsylvania, then Syracuse, then Baltimore, then Chattanooga.
Wow. That is an interesting ping pong of where you live. All right. Well, what do you want to bring to the show today? I usually give the guests free rein.
Well, I'd really like to talk about finding like niches and stuff like that. I'm constantly looking for something that nobody else is doing in my town.
Smart.
Two years ago, I had a friend ask me to fix her iPhone, and I was like, you know, it's pretty similar to a computer and I can find the pictures and everything online. So let's give it a shot. And, you know, it took me about 2 hours the first time. And, now I do it, you know, four or five of them a day. And, you know, it takes about 15 minutes a piece, 30 minutes for some of the other things, but, yeah, it's a great thing. And, you know, I also do PCs and Macs all day. So,
all right, let's talk about the iPhones then. So it all started when somebody asked you to fix their iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you looked it up, took you a couple of hours, and you just got better and better and better. Now, how do you advertise it? How do people know to bring their phones to you?
The first thing to do, and any time I think of a niche or find something new that nobody else is doing, I do a Google search.
Yes.
So I just go through and say, what companies are out there doing it? And or are there any companies out there doing it? Luckily, with the iPhones, there was one place called the Mac Authority doing it. And I actually knew the owner. They live in Nashville, and I know a lot of the people that work there and stuff like that. And so I actually looked up their Apple certified technicians. If you're thinking about getting into Macs, don't be Apple certified. It'll slow you down. It'll make your job much tougher, and you'll actually give worse service because of it.
Yeah.
But there's no actual certification for iPhone repairs.
Okay.
So I kind of knew that they were going to be asked by Apple not to do it anymore. So
how do you because they just don't certify that?
Right. So they sell MacBooks and all right. that stuff there as well. And so I kind of knew they were going to be asked to not do it anymore. So I kind of jumped on it. And about a year ago, they were asked to stop doing it by Apple. And they've been recommending me. I go to AT&T stores, and every once in a while, I'll bring them pizzas, something like that, just like to say thank you. But yeah, just ask around to all of your phone companies, and you can get a lot of business from it.
What, you know, before you bring on pizza, obviously, what do you bring? Do you like go in there with a bunch of business cards and say like,
yeah,
okay.
At first I said, hey, you know, I'm repairing iPhones in the area. I know nobody else is doing it. Here's a stack of cards. If you guys ever need a phone repaired personally, come to me. And, you know, the parts are $7-8 a piece at, you know, at the time. And, you know, I said, you know, if you guys have something broken, bring it to me and I'll fix it for you. You know, just pay for the part. And I fixed, I think, one or two of their employees at one of the stores, and business just exploded.
Really? Mm-hmm. Those goodwill gestures go a long way, don't they?
Yeah.
That's a great idea. Wow. And so the Mac Authority guys, why are they sending it to you? Because you just did the same thing with them?
I didn't do the same thing with them. It's mostly probably because I'm friends with them. But they're technically not supposed to send people to me. So they just say, do a search for iPhone repair Chattanooga. And, you know, I think there's somebody on there and I hear he's really good.
Okay. Now that is because they're Apple certified means they can't do it anymore.
Right.
So if they weren't Apple certified, no problem.
Right.
Damn. Interesting, you know, they work for that certification thinking it's going to help their business.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things that you have to send to Apple to repair, stuff like that, and
right.
It's just not really worth it.
Plus, telling you.
It's you have to get parts from Apple, all that stuff, and it's just way too marked, too expensive to run.
I'll bet. You know, I was all for Apple a couple years ago, and now they're really rubbing me the wrong way as far as like a company that I would like to invest in or just support. They really are. They're dumping a lot of their pro apps too. Like they haven't updated Logic, which is a music recording app, in a long time, and they killed Final Cut. I mean, they just destroyed it for the professional. Professionals are like, what? So, and I mean, for somebody like me, I think it would be perfect. But for professionals, they're like, this is not what we wanted. And I think they're dumping a lot of their pro apps and just... they're just dumbing things down too much, and I think they're just focusing on the general consumer, not the geek.
I think, you know, where technology is going, it's definitely focused towards the consumer. I mean, most businesses now are, you don't treat them as consumers, but there's a lot of small businesses that don't really run their computers like a business. They run it more as consumers.
What do you mean?
Like checking email, surfing the web,
right,
and stuff like that. I mean, they just general purpose machines to a lot of these people.
Right, right.
You know, they set up Google Apps and have Dropbox installed. And that's pretty close to what, you know, what Windows Server does. I know it's a lot more powerful, but, you know, they can get most of the same features from these really inexpensive products that don't really need a whole lot of tweezing and pulling to get to work.
Right. Well, we'll see what happens with the futures of these companies.
We'll see.
Man, what else did I want to ask? You talked about the iPhones. So that's how you got your iPhone business.
Mm-hmm.
Good. All right. That's good. I'll think of it later, I'm sure. But just keep going. What else you want to talk about?
Yeah, a couple of the other things. I've been doing a lot of home theater installs. And
yeah.
That's awesome. You know, way to get into it, you need a Pixar DVD and a 99-cent pair of blue filter glasses. And you can calibrate TVs and, you know, takes you 15 minutes and charge them $100 a pop.
Wow. Dude, you have to definitely tell me about that. But first, unplug that headset and plug it back in because I think we're starting to almost silent on it. We will be back in one moment. Are you there?
Good?
Try that.
Hello?
Yes, Bat, you're back.
All right, sorry.
That's cool. Tell us how that is.
It's really good. So you have and this isn't the best way to do it, but it's going to be it's going to be about as good as Best Buy. And as you get better and better at it, you know, you recognize TVs, you recognize sound systems and stuff like that. But you have the THX Optimizer, THX Optimizer, if I can speak today. But you pop that in, you go to that menu, and you just go through and tweak the settings until it looks good. And, you know, their TV will look better than it ever has.
Really? And that you have to get these blue glasses? What's that all about?
So they have a part on it that is color and tint. And you can look at this online. There's one that's color, one that's tint. You look at, you start moving your color settings, and you have the blue filters on. And when both of the letters, there's two different colors, but as soon as they look the same, that color is calibrated.
Huh.
And then you do the same thing for tint.
Interesting. That is good stuff, man. Great tip.
Yeah. It's a little niches. You got to find them. And, you know, if you think about it, you know, if you think of something new, see if anybody's doing it, and you may be the first person out there.
It's true. And I did think of what I was going to say when you were talking about the iPhone thing. And it was when you were talking about researching a niche.
Mm-hmm.
You said go to Google and find out if people are doing it. The way I do it is I use the Google keyword tool. Did you ever use this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a tool on Google. It used to be just part of AdWords, but I think anybody can access it now. And it basically allows you to type in a keyword into a little box and process it. And it'll tell you how many people per month are searching for that term and how stiff the competition is for AdWords anyway.
Yep.
So it gives you a huge idea, because if you say, oh, I got a great idea for a niche, I'm going to do, you know, wireless footballs, or, like, you know what I mean? Something like that. And you think, oh, this is going to be great. And you set up your whole business around that. And then you Google, use the Google keyword tool. You'll see that two people in the entire world search for that last month. So, okay, that's not a good niche. But if you do something for, like, you know, totally different, like, I don't know, fixing iPhones, you see that there's you know, 2 million people who searched for that last month, and the competition's not that great, so you have a perfect opportunity to get in there. I highly recommend that tool for marketing research.
Yeah, the next thing I do, I always consider, like, Android phones and stuff like that. I've done some, not a whole lot, but I've gone and I'll go to talk to HTC, whoever sells those phones in town, and ask them, hey, you know, do you sell a whole lot of these iPhones? You get a whole bunch of people coming in asking for them to be repaired, or, you know, what's the deal? And usually the employees are pretty honest and will be pretty straightforward, you know, and that's a good gauge as well.
Yeah, that's really, you know, hitting the street and finding out exactly what's going on in your area. Donald is now on another headset, so the quality is going to be a little different, but you can still hear him. Donald, what were we talking about?
Finding those niches.
Okay.
And going out on the street and doing it.
That's right. Take it away. Keep going.
Yeah, so go to the AT&T stores, ask around. I mean, I'm pretty decently young. I'm 25 in September, and I've got a pretty good gauge of the younger crowd, and just looking at friends and stuff like that and seeing, you know, what devices they're buying. You know, if you've got, we were just talking in the TeamSpeak earlier about, you know, repairing Red Rings of Death and PlayStation 3s and all that stuff. And, you know, that's also a pretty big niche. And, you know, looking at what products people are buying, there's also, I think there's a nice little link from TechCrunch where it shows the majority per state. And I'm putting it into the IRC right now.
Good.
Where it has the different phones per state and how they sell. So that's a good thing to look at too. And that would kind of give you an idea of your area and see, you know, at least by state, you know, who has the most phones and who's selling the most and stuff like that. So that's good.
Let me check it out. Where'd you put it in? The Podnuts, the lounge, or the Justin chat?
I think I'm in the lounge. Maybe that's why nobody's talking to me.
I haven't been in there in a while. Let me. All right. Okay, cool.
I can Skype it to you too. But yeah, it's a great thing. I love, you know, helping people out with their iPhones and stuff. It's always great to see people's faces when you hand them back their phone and it was just smashed. The glass is just dust, and they get it back and it looks like a brand spanking new phone.
Right.
It's like, this is awesome. You know, I've had people afterwards actually call me because they may have like a little scratch on it or something like that, because they've, you know, had their keys in their pocket or something. They're like, can I get that replaced again? I was like, yeah, no problem.
Damn. So how much do you charge?
Right now, I charge $85.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's 15 minutes of work, a $5 part.
That's it?
I make $80 in 15 minutes.
Dude, you guys better take a cue from him. That's what you need to do right there. That is what you need to do. That's good, man. That's a good profit margin. And
I mean,
I like it. I might go back in business.
Most of my stuff, I try to keep my profit margin super high.
It's fun that way, isn't it?
You know, I don't turn people down, but I definitely try to make sure I bring in, like, if I'm going to do some stuff over and over again, like, you know, OS reinstalls, stuff like that, that's super fast, super easy. And those are the things that make you the most money. So you don't have to pop in a new hard drive or a new power supply to change the operating system.
Right. I don't know. There's some hardware guys that really like that stuff, though. I used to like power supplies.
Yeah,
were a joy.
You can make some good money off of it. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, but it's also, you know, with a power supply, you know, you have to keep a $40 part in stock, and that's for one, you know, one repair, and then what, you charge $50 plus part to replace it, and you know, you make a good bit of money off of it, but you know, it's also $5 parts versus in 15 minutes, and I can keep 100 of them in stock without any issue.
You're right. You have a good point. You have a good point.
I don't mind doing that stuff, but this stuff is, every time, those people leave with a smile, and so do I.
That's all that matters. Good, man. That's a great tip so far. What else you want to go over?
Let's see. I think we've got probably not a lot of younger people, but I think there's a lot of people in like the chats and in the forums and stuff thinking of starting businesses, or, you know, they'll do a PC here or there a week. And I think like, or that maybe they're working another job that they want to leave to go and, you know, do this. And man, I fully support those people. I wish them the best of luck, because, you know, I started out, my job, like, well, here's my history in technology. I started out, went to UTC here in Chattanooga. I was going for marketing, decided to leave and go to MTSU, which is in the middle of Tennessee. Decided to leave there. And this is all, you know, a semester or so.
Wow. This seems to be the pattern of your life, doesn't it?
It does. So I came back home, went to community college here, and that's when I started. I've always done technology and everything, but that's when I started looking at, you know, the tech degrees and all that stuff, all the A+ certifications, all that junk. And then I started, you know, sitting down in the classrooms and going, I know a lot of this stuff already. Right. And so on a whim, like, I had already gotten a job at Staples as a Easy Tech, mm-hmm. and that was before they actually branded them as Easy Tech. So you can see my cat over here.
Cute kitty. He's fine. He's fine. He's keeping there.
I started at Staples, started repairing computers there and everything. Decided to leave school, and I just on a whim, I started posting stuff on Craigslist and, you know, just doing word of mouth stuff and repairing computers that way. And after, you know, I started doing that about a year and a half into my Staples job. And in about 5-6 months, I decided to leave, start my own thing. It was decently successful. I started waiting tables at nights on the side, and left that waiting job and worked some more on my own. And I actually ended up getting hired by a web company who did work for Google and for a couple of other people here in town. Oh, he's back.
He's cool.
So I started doing that. That company kind of started falling apart and everything. And about, 8 months ago, I started back again. So all this time I've been keeping up with clients, all that stuff. And, you know, I'm back full time, and, you know, I'm pretty busy every day. You know, here and there, there's a day where I do one or two repairs, but, you know, you keep at it. And I think, you know, one of the most important things for, like, you know, look at that retail job, and just because it's a retail job, I know it sucks, it's crappy, it's a grind, and most of the people over top of you don't really get it. But the thing to remember is when you do it to the best of your ability. Make sure you're helping the customers the best you can, because the best training, those people are also pretty much paying you to learn and to expand your knowledge as well. So, you know, take that opportunity to make, you know, whatever you're making at that job to expand your knowledge, and, you know, just, you know, find a space where, you know, I wouldn't recommend to take customers from that company or anything like that. I didn't do that. You know, every once in a while I'd get a Facebook message from a random customer and say, hey, can you do this? But, you know, I never really pursued it or handed out business cards, right, or was like, hey, here's my phone number.
Right. You shouldn't.
But, you know, go on Craigslist, start advertising stuff. And, you know, after you get enough, you know, as soon as you start saying, okay, well, I'm making enough on the side thing that, yeah, maybe I'm making a little bit less than my day job, but, you know, if I was doing this full time, I could bring it to the next level and, you know, just start pumping out customers and bringing people in and all that stuff. So I really feel for a lot of those people. And, you know, if anybody ever needs any help or any recommendations or anything like that, I mean, talk to me, because I've worked those jobs, and I was lucky enough to get out of it and start my own thing, and it's been going great ever since.
Yeah, that's really, it's pretty cool. That's good advice. Now, when you worked like the Staples job, did working there and how you interacted with the customers and everything, did that give you the confidence to start on your own, because you saw how you treated people and how people responded to you? Did the wheels, like the light bulb, start to go off in your head, like, oh, I could do this myself? Was it because of that? Kind of, sort of, yeah.
Okay. I mean, there's a couple things where, you know, the whole concept of, you know, you hire three people in. One person is killing it. He's selling, you know, he's making the company $80 an hour, right? The other person's kind of doing okay. You know, he's making $20, $30 an hour for the company. Then you've got this other guy who everybody's pulling his weight, you know, everybody's trying to pick up the slack and everything. And usually in, you know, retail companies or in corporations, they pay most of those people pretty much the same rate.
Right.
You know, it may vary a dollar or so, but not a whole lot at the end of the day.
Right.
So, you know, you look at that type of stuff, and, you know, I was lucky enough to be in a position that I could say, I don't know about this, and, you know, not to get somebody fired, but I was able to at least say, you know, hey, let's try them on something that's not sales related. You know, this person's just really not cut out for it.
Yeah.
But doing stuff like that, you know, I worked my way up quite a bit, from pretty much minimum wage to, you know, I think I was making $18 or $19 an hour or something like that.
Damn, that's pretty damn good, man.
Which isn't bad for, the economy is actually not bad here in Chattanooga. That's one of the things that I have to say to you guys. But you can, with computer repair especially, I think it's everybody's saying it's, you know, economy proof and it, you know, it, all that stuff. But, you know, nothing's going to be recession proof or anything. But the nice thing is it's the concept of tailors. You know, when we had early recessions and the depression and everything like that, shoe cobblers would make just crap tons of money because nobody would go out and buy new shoes. They would just fix the ones they had. It's the same concept with computers. So, you know, fixing a computer is usually a lot less than going out and buying a $500 machine.
Right.
So I think, you know, just definitely keep at it. Try your hardest at that job. I know it's tough picking up the slack for other people. It happens all the time. But you'll learn so much of how to deal with customers if you're the best person there, or, you know, you're very passionate about it. If you're listening to this show, you're probably passionate about repairing computers.
Right.
And, you know, I really think that, you know, if you're really passionate about it, even if you're working one of those jobs, why not try your hardest? You're going to be there anyway, and you're not really wasting your time, because everything you learn is more experience under your belt.
It's true. It might be hard to swallow, but it is definitely true.
You got one too.
Oh yeah. She jumps all around. She wants to play just all the time. All the time. And you also will feel better about your job and yourself if you work hard, too.
Yeah. I mean, that goes a long way. At the end of the day, nobody could ever come to you and say, hey, what are you doing? Or what are you, or, like, if you want to go and, you know, talk to a customer for a little bit.
Right.
You know, you're still a lead of sales and everything.
Right.
You're,
you kind of earned the little leeway.
Yeah. You can't, they can't really do very much. And, you know, so that's kind of a nice thing, too.
Totally. All right. Good stuff so far. Do you got anything else?
Let's see. How long are we in?
We're about half an hour in, and I don't think I have too many emails. I have one. So just go as long as you feel you want to.
I think so. There's like, I don't know. I'm talking out of my own experience, but I feel like there's probably a lot of people going to school for this stuff and everything, and you know. Sorry. The big thing with the education system right now, especially for skilled trades and stuff like that we're doing, where technically, you know, several years ago to own your own business, to do computer stuff, you probably need a degree. But right now, you know, if you're going to school and you're still like, you're keeping with it and everything, try to do that stuff on the side. I know, I think it's EverTech. That guy, he's probably going to school and, you know, has his own computer repair business. And, you know, that's awesome. That's what you should be doing. I mean, yeah, try to take those jobs at Best Buy if you can. It's a good job security. But, I mean, advertise around school. News travels fast to a lot of those people. So that would be another good recommendation if you're in school for this stuff or interested in it. That's I can't say enough of at least trying it. I mean, yeah, that's, the worst you can do is have to go and get a job somewhere.
It's very, very smart. John, actually, it was John Evernet.
Evernet.co.uk.
He actually changed his image and his branding. He's now Laptop Medics, I think. Medic. Okay. And he's got a really good idea of doing that. And he's right on the level. I mean, he has the reality with all the students, and the students probably feel good taking it to another student who could, they could talk to and have like, the same things in common, and mm-hmm. the person could actually duplicate the problem they're having. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and he's got to build up a little squad of people there. It's really, it's a really great idea. So,
yeah, that type of thing is really cool. And I think, you know, is he going to school right now for all that?
Or? I believe so, yes. Okay. But I'm not 100%. I'm not 100%.
Yeah, I mean, you can. Look at other college students. They're scratching by with, you know, $200, $300 a week jobs or every 2 weeks even. I mean, if you're a college student, you're living in a dorm, you're living in an apartment somewhere. I mean, if you can scratch enough money together to get, you know, a little bit of tools together, if your computer's good, I mean, you know, just get it together and see if it goes right, see if it flows.
Yeah. It's a great test bed. Yeah, it's a great way to test out too if you're going to be successful and if you could hack it.
If you start out early there too, I mean, you're building up your brand, you're building up, you know, how you work with people and your knowledge and everything. And I guarantee you, if you graduate college and you go into computer repair, or you go into, I've got a friend that just graduated college and he's working for the government. He's learned more in one day than he ever did in any of those simulation tests and stuff like that for A plus and all that stuff.
I'm sure. I don't have much to say in favor of college about what it gives you. For me personally, it was a place where I kind of grew up into a man as far as like, okay, I'm not living at home now. I'm
I
on
do that
my
every
own.
Day.
You're kind of, it makes you more independent, and that's pretty much one of the only things I got out of college. I mean, like, as far as classes and stuff, I probably couldn't tell you two things I learned right now from college. So, you know, but I can't say I don't recommend it, because people who are more studious than I was will get something out of it. And also, a lot of companies need a degree. So you go for the paper, you go for the degree, not necessarily for the education. You go for the final result, because there's so much, I think, in our educational system, I think there's so much that needs to be improved and See, the problem with our education, one of the problems I think with that type of education is it's all theory. There's very little practical, you know?
Yeah.
So when you say actually go out and do the business while you're in school, you're getting the practical knowledge while maybe in the classes you're learning some theory that might apply, but maybe not. So I think that going out and doing things like you're saying, it gives you the practical knowledge, whereas if our educational system had a little bit more practical knowledge, I think it might be a little better, but...
And one of the big things to remember, I don't know if it's different in a lot of cities. I live near Nashville and Atlanta and stuff like that. But a lot of these places, especially in the technology, definitely in the technology community, you know, if you're a college student, and mind you, I decided school wasn't for me 2 years ago. So I don't have a degree. I have 3 semesters under my belt and, you know, kind of left. But, you know, definitely go and at the very least try and get a internship somewhere. If you're not comfortable doing your own business, there's so many places to do paid internships, especially in technology.
Really? Mm-hmm. Where do you recommend they look?
I mean, I would look at web design firms. I would look at, you know, if you're interested in servers, all those people deal with probably crazier servers than you could ever imagine in a business. Our government system here does paid internships for technology students, stuff like that.
Interesting. Good stuff.
That's a good idea as well.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, do whatever you guys feel like you need to do. But I always said, especially after I started my own computer repair business, the best way to learn how to do something is start a business doing it. I swear, you just learn on the fly. It's faster than you could possibly ever learn anything, is just being thrown into the fire, I think.
Yeah, I learn something every day.
Yeah, it's true. Awesome. Good stuff. You got anything else?
I don't know. That's a good niche to get into too. I mean, I repair those all day and they're pretty simple to fix. The big difference between fixing Macs or even iPhones and Androids, but Macs and PCs, especially with laptops, is that there's almost always those little iFixit guides. They're not completely accurate. There's sometimes a lot better ways to do stuff, but it definitely gets you started. They'll step you step by step through every screw, every, you know, latch, every connector, every ZIF connector, all that stuff. And that's definitely a good way to start.
At least it familiarizes the person with it.
Right. Yeah. So that's a good thing to get into too. I would at least try it. OS installs are pretty easy, pretty straightforward. And
are you getting a lot of Macs?
Oh, I'm on a Mac right now.
Is that a customer's?
No, this is mine.
All right. So a lot of them come into your shop though?
Yeah. I repair about even amount of PCs and Macs.
Wow. Even amount?
Just about. Yeah. At least for laptops. I don't, you know, there's not very many Mac desktops other than iMacs and Mac minis, which aren't super popular. The laptops are pretty simple to repair. And luckily I live in a college-ish community and there's a lot of technology people and stuff like that. So, you know, I do get I even get developers and stuff like that broke their LCD or, you know, one of the biggest things that I do is for a lot of people is kind of a boutique thing where I replace their regular drive with a solid state drive, take out the CD bay and put their like a 500 gig or now I think they make terabyte drives that are thin enough to fit in there. But people love that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, so that's what I have in my laptop right now. I've got a 64 gig solid state and a 500 gig hard drive. So I do about one of those a week.
And what do people love when you put in a solid state drive?
Yeah. Well, I deal with a lot of like, since I know a lot of developers and everything, as soon as I showed them my setup on it, the word got around and everybody's like, oh, I want that for myself. But a lot of developers or designers and stuff like that, they may know how to fix something or they're familiar with some computers, but a lot of people just don't want to deal with it.
Right.
So that's the really nice thing. So instead of you know, learning how to do it, taking an hour to replace that CD bay or something like that. You know, they'll bring it to me and it'll take me 10 minutes to install and, you know, get it back.
Yeah, I agree. It's a lot of techs, they have a misconception because they know how easy it is to do some of these jobs. Mm-hmm. The general consumer, it's not that they don't may not think it's easy. They just don't want to be bothered. So a lot of techs go, oh, I'll never make money doing that. It takes 2 seconds to do that. Well, everybody's probably doing it on their own. That's not mm-hmm. true. People don't want to be bothered. You know, it's mm-hmm. like an oil change in your car. In my car, I don't want to do it myself. It's probably, you know, I haven't done it in a long time, so I don't know how easy it is now. Yeah, serious. So, it's probably really, really easy.
Yeah, stuff like that. I mean, I don't think if you've got an idea of something that you think can be fixed, I would try it. I would give it a test run, see you know what the market is, how much people would pay for it.
Yeah,
and you know, you'd be surprised how much money you can make off of, you know, small little things.
All right. You got anything else you want to go over?
That's about it. I mean, I'll go ahead and give people my email address if they want any recommendations for part dealers for iPhones or Macs and stuff like that.
Yeah, go ahead and give it now.
You can hit me up at donald@ifixie.com.
Okay.
And you can also get me on Twitter. It's just Donald Sayos without the space in between it. But, yeah, that's about it.
Donald@ifixie.com. Okay. Let me read this email because we could probably talk about this last email for a while anyway. Okay.
Yeah.
It's from Peter. He says, hello, Steve and the gang. Thank you for the shows. They are very helpful in learning new bits and pieces of information on the computer repair business. If you and your guests could share some ideas on marketing, that would be a great help. I'm trying to get my residential mobile repair business going, and I'm looking for any and all ideas on getting customers. What has worked for all of you in the past and what has not worked so well? Thank you for the shows and the community. It's from Peter. Wow. Open question.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for anybody who bought the Tech Site Builder, they know my method. I threw up a website. It was a one pager. It said, I fix computers. It said, call me. It had a form in it in case they wanted to put what was wrong on their computer and they didn't want to call me for whatever reason. So there was two ways that they could contact me. And that's what my site was. One page, I fix computers. I'm good at it. Call me. I will fix your computer. And I gave them a really cheap price. And then I just, with the 1-2 punch, like I always say, I use Google AdWords. Now, some people these days with the competition of Google AdWords might not have as much success as I did back then. But, you know, back then in 2005, 2006, not a lot of computer repair techs were using AdWords. So that's how I got my business, and that's how I got my traffic.
The thing with Google AdWords is that you've also got to keep on tweaking it. It's not something you set and just kind of walk away from.
Right.
You definitely have to, like, keep track of, you know, what clicks you're getting, which ones aren't working. And if it's not working, try and figure out why. I mean, do a search on yourself, see when those come up, when they don't, and things like that. But I really enjoy doing, like, very going out there and advertising. I mean, I'll go and walk into a business and be like, hey, how's it going? Just wanted to see if you guys were satisfied with the person fixing your computers right now. And, here's a business card. I'll come in, talk to you guys for 30 minutes or whatever, and just see what you guys need, see if it's something that we can do and, you know, get you a quote and everything and, you know, get you guys out the door. And that's a really good way of doing it. I've printed little flyers. I wish I had some around, but we have a lot of events and music events around town, mm-hmm. and it's my whole thing of don't ask permission, ask for forgiveness. You know, I'll walk around just like if you ever go to one of those places. Now, I live in the South. I don't know if you have these around where you are, but it's always those, like, those $100 bills or whatever that's like, have you found Jesus? Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
I don't do the $100 bill ones, but I just print something out and just, like, hand them out to people and, you know, just say, hey. And, you know, that's a good way of doing it.
Do you get people off of that?
Yeah, surprisingly. I didn't think I was not doing anything one day and decided to go down and, you know, spent $15 on, you know, Kinko's or whatever and toss them out there and just see if it worked.
What do you print off? Like fake like iTunes gift cards or something like that?
No, they're just generally like computer repair, right. You know, Macs, PCs, iPhones. If you ever need it, like it's not worded that way. I wish I had one, but it says like, you know, call here or here's my email address. And you'd be surprised. Somebody sees you face to face and, knows that you do it. That face to face thing, if you can get in front, if I talk to somebody in person, not always on the phone, a lot of times they're like, oh, well, let me call around. It's like, okay, well, if you need anything or, you need a price match or something like that, let me know and I can see if I can work something out.
Right.
But if I get face to face with somebody, I'll always make a sale.
That's the thing.
That person will not walk out of my place without doing something.
That is so right, because you have control of the conversation. And if you're a good communicator, you could get it done. That's the thing about the tech site builder. You know, it's some people criticize it. Like, well, I want to add 16 pages to it. And I go, no, you want people to call you. You want them to call you. That's the only thing you want them to do from your site. You don't want them to go through all 16 pages of your site, find out every little bit of information about you, and then go somewhere else. If you want them to answer a question, have them give you a call. Once you're on the phone with somebody, then you create this reality with them, and they almost feel obliged to come in. So that's the whole idea of keeping it simple and just getting somebody to communicate with you instead of trying to make your site do all the selling and the communication. I mean, you do it face-to-face. The next best thing is doing it over the phone with your voice, mm-hmm.
Yeah, and with that point, I mean, you can, coming from a web background for quite a while and everything, like and marketing and everything, but, having a single page thing's good, but it's also, if you are going with, I think there's a lot of people moving to some of the WordPress themes, stuff like that. But, if you've got to make sure that front page, you've got your number up there at the top, you've got in the middle, and you've got it at the bottom. Right. So anywhere that person scrolled on their little 600 by 800 screen or whatever the hell they're using, they can see your number. They can make a phone call. You can have extra pages, but you want to simplify that front page. You want them to say, this is what I do. I do it really well. I'm really professional. And here's a number to call.
Right.
If you want more information, click here. That's cool. Or contact me, fill out this form or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, it is nice to have a simple website, but you can also do it correctly with, a multiple page website.
You can, I guess you have a multiple page website, but... I agree with you, but don't let them get lost on your site. It's not the idea.
Yeah, you've got to let them get back to the beginning. You've got to still have your phone number there. Right. You've got to have all that stuff.
Or have it on all your pages, like you said. I've seen sites where the only way to contact the company is to click the contact me link.
Right.
And then it's still hard to find their information. Their phone number is nowhere to be found, or it's really small. Mm-hmm. So the goal is to get, if you want to just get control in on the whole thing, just get them to call you. That would be the best thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make it easy for them to communicate with you.
Yeah.
But to answer another thing Peter can do, and I've not done this, but I'm putting myself in his shoes, is if you have a mobile company, Peter, I would say you have a car because you're going to go from place to place. I would definitely put your information on your car, so at least you're a driving advertisement for yourself to start.
Right.
I mean, that's not going to cost you too much. I don't think there's people having too much success putting ads in the newspaper, and I have not had too much success with the yellow pages. I mean, you could try it. It's very location based.
Right. Yeah. It really depends on where you're at with that type of stuff.
Right.
What I've done actually is, so if you have NPR in your area, they usually have those ads that are like, we've got, usually their market's business owners and all that stuff. Usually, middle upper class are the people listening to that type of thing. And, looking at advertising on something like that, or I've got several blogs in town that I've advertised on. And those have worked out pretty well. One of the things that I'm working on, I've been trying to find them, but I'm looking for little sandwich boards. And if you've ever seen like maybe Comcast goes out to somebody's house, something like that, they'll always have their little cones or something like that outside of their car, kind of marking that spot. But I've been thinking about making little ones that I put in front and behind of my car, that when I'm parked at somebody's house for repair or something like that, that as people drive by, they can even see, oh, Susan's getting her computer repaired.
Oh,
cool.
Yeah, like, right.
I'll write down that number.
Right. Good
or
one.
Or ask her about it later.
Right. Good one. Yeah, all this kind of stuff is what I think what Peter's looking for. Mm-hmm. Your best bet, Peter, because this is only two brains working here, is go to the Podnuts forums and put a post in there and see what the guys say in there. Go into TeamSpeak.
Yeah, all of that stuff is very industry specific. I recommend to go into the TeamSpeak. I love that stuff.
Now, what's happening in TeamSpeak lately? Yes, guys, I'm guilty. I haven't been in there in a long time. I'm sure you guys will talk circles around me by now. But
number one, I don't know if I should be talking about this, but Brian Brytek got on a webcam and we saw his face. I'm just saying. That's what you're missing in TeamSpeak.
Wow.
But that's exciting. And his I think it was what do they call it there? He was just prancing around in his pants, I think is what they call them in the UK. They're pants are trousers here, and pants are underwear, I think, in the UK.
So he was on a webcam dancing around in his underwear?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All
so
the time.
That's why I'm not in TeamSpeak, guys. How many, I mean, what is it like? Give somebody reality on the TeamSpeak so if they don't know what they're talking about.
I mean, we hang out in there. I'm not in there all the time, but usually after about 6 Eastern time to maybe 7 or 8. You know, if I've got a late client or something like that, I'll do it. I've also started doing, you know, little streams of me fixing an iPhone, kind of walking you through it and everything. Wow. So you miss stuff like that. You also, if you have a question, I mean, there's usually 4 or 5 people in there and, you know, you can get your questions answered, you know, relatively quickly. And most of these techs are all willing to help you out and give some advice and all that stuff.
Yes. And then there's people even in our chat room that are praising TeamSpeak. Will Robert right now says TeamSpeak is great. Now, how does somebody log into that and chat with you guys?
Let me see what the settings are. Let's see. Download TeamSpeak 3. Let me open it up here. Connections. Manage bookmarks.
So you download an app and it basically asks you for a server and a password.
Yeah,
right?
It will ask for a server. And I don't think there's even a password on our TeamSpeak server. So
just a port, right?
Mm-hmm, just a port. So you go to pod. It will ask you for the address. It's podnuts with a Z dot INSTANTTS.net. Port 4201.
There you go.
And I think if you just search the forums for TeamSpeak, they've got the settings in there too.
Yeah, search the forums. Yes, there's no password. Sorry, guys. I know. These guys are hating me in the chat room. Like, you're not in there. You don't know what's going on. Don't pretend like you do.
You're out of touch. That's what it is.
It's true. I don't like being like that. All right. Well, it has been fun, Donald, man. I really appreciate you coming on. Tell us again where people could find you if they want to talk to you or whatever.
You can find me in the TeamSpeak most of the time. If I'm not in there, ask somebody else. Or, I mean, just ask. I mean, you don't have to ask me. That's all right. but you can go to ifixy.com. I've got a contact form in there. You can call if you want to. Call me. I don't care. I'll talk to you.
There you go.
But, yeah, just... Just welcome to the community if you haven't been here before. And it's a great place to learn, a lot of cool people, and I love it.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad you do. You've really helped out a lot by coming on the show and giving your information.
Yeah, thanks, man.
No problem. If anybody wants to do what Donald just did just now, and it was easy, right? Donald was easy, right?
I mean, it was very simple, other than my headphone problem. That was my fault.
Yeah, maybe. It's good. You go to podnuts.com/guests to sign up if you want to be on Podnuts Daily. It really is that easy. If you want to send us an email, yes, we need emails too, guys. Please send us some emails. We want to know what you're thinking and doing. Send them to mail@podnuts.com. If you want to send us a voicemail, call 7076-PODNUT on a phone, and you'll get to go right to the voicemail.
Will that work on a rotary phone?
I'm not sure.
Or just digital?
I'm not sure, but if you do have a rotary phone, you should not be calling this show.
Okay. Just so you know. I was just thinking.
Yes. Thank you. Well, that's going to be it for Podnuts Daily for today. Thank you, everybody, for watching, listening, and streaming and such. And we'll see you next time. Music for Podnuts Daily provided by Evan King at purevolume.com/EvanKing.